David Crosby is once again focusing on his solo career. He'll release a new album titled Lighthouse on October 21st, where he collaborated with Michael League of the Grammy-winning modern jazz group Snarky Puppy.
Was it something she said about a dream she had? One of those ones that faded so fast, you knew it was bad. She dreams that she's losing you. I guess it's time. There's only so much time. Reaching through the fear that's holding her here.
These are the things, these are the things we do. These are the things, these are the things we do.
The Bardavon presents an evening with David Crosby on Saturday, August 20th at 8 o'clock at the Bardavon in Poughkeepsie. Crosby will be playing new songs as well as music from throughout his storied career and will be joined by his son, James Raymond, on piano. David Crosby is a legendary singer, songwriter, two-time Rock and Roll Hall of Famer, inducted as a member of both the iconic folk rock band The Byrds and the iconic Woodstock-era defining group Crosby, Stills, and Nash. It is a great pleasure and an honor to welcome David Crosby to the Roundtable. Thank you very much for being with us, sir. A great honor and pleasure to have you on the program.
Wow, you did that without even, like, any hesitations or anything.
I'm so sure that I want to talk to you. It's very exciting. What is it about this idea of you and your son? There's something very intimate and sweet about this to me, of you and your son going on the road together and looking at various aspects of your career.
You know, it's a magical thing. You know that James was put up for adoption by his mom,
right.
And we didn't meet each other until he was, like, you know, in his late 30s. Or middle 30s, and so for us to find each other at all, and then for us to be friends, because that kind of meetups, they very often go wrong, and ours went right. And for me to be able to make music with him is astounding. He's an incredible musician. I mean, much better than me, and much better player. And so. We, you know, as soon as we met, we started playing music with each other, started a band called CPR for a while. That was really fun. He's been in the band for CSN for a long time. And we write together all the time. There's just nothing in the way. It's like a really clear, empty, wonderful, beautiful street that goes both ways. And so it's a joy. You know, I like doing it differently. As much as I can. I don't want to just do the same thing. That got really tiring.
Mm.
And so this is a fresh thing that James and I have always wanted to do and haven't had a chance to. I'm looking forward to it a lot.
Is there some part of this, and maybe I'm reading far too much into this, but is there a part of it where it's also your opportunity to sort of say, for him to share with you his musicality and for you to share with him your musicality?
Yeah. Yeah. And it's a big part of our communication. You know, I mean, other people have, the English language and a few other things to communicate with, but we have this music to communicate with, and it really works. We really do talk to each other.
Given the distance for so long, how aware was he of your career and your music?
When we met up, I was thinking he'd be all impressed with me, but no, he's a keyboard player, so he liked Billy Joel and Elton and the other guys who played piano, you know, Stevie Wonder, you know, all these great keyboard players were his heroes. You know, Donald Fagen, you know, those were the guys that he idolized. But when we got together, we found that our chord heads were very similar, and the places we wanted to take melodies were very similar, and the words we wrote were very similar. So,
you mentioned a moment ago about that idea of writing with somebody else and you writing in a room with him. And I know you also did this for the new album with Michael League.
Mm-hmm.
You enjoy that collaborative process.
I do, and for several reasons. Look, if the amount of songwriting talent you bring to a thing is like a palette, okay, of colors, when you write with somebody else, you've got twice as many colors.
Yeah.
It's that simple. Also, the other guy always thinks of something you didn't think of. Always. Every time. So it widens the possibilities, and it's been my experience that it increased the quality, because the people I write with, man, are completely honest with me. They say, that's almost it. That's almost it. But I don't like this word. And it just had its car, you know. And so we talk to each other very honestly, and that ups the quality. You know, that's the thing that a lot of other writers don't have, is somebody to say, yeah, that's good, but you could do it better. And I could name writers, and I won't, but I could name some writers I know very well who really could use that a lot. Really could use somebody telling them, work a little harder.
In listening to just the first track, the first release off the new album, there's very much a stripped down quality, a very delicate quality to this, which I assume is what you ultimately wanted.
You know, when I started working with Michael, I thought, okay, here's this master craftsman, and he's got a gigantic toolbox, namely Snarky Puppy, a band full of talented musicians, right? So we got together, and he said, no, that's not really what I had in mind. What I had in mind was playing to your strengths, going to acoustic guitar, intricate acoustic guitar that you've thought up, and I had a bunch of it, and vocal stacks, which, of course, I really love to do, and words that mean something. So I said, fine, that is my home ground. That is right in my wheelhouse. I will go happily and heartily on that path. And we did. And there's the record.
When you do something like this, and it has to be incredibly freeing, but does it also allow you to reflect on what you've done before, that you look at it with either any regret or that you wouldn't appreciate it as much now if you didn't go into other musical forms earlier in your career?
Well, you know, I have to, this is kind of a terrible thing to have to admit, but I don't look backwards at all.
Well,
I don't really think about my past music at all. I don't compare this stuff to it. I don't listen to my old stuff very often. Maybe every once in a while a specific song will come to mind that I like. But generally, I'm focused on what I got to do today, what I might be able to do tomorrow, what I would hope to do this week, this month, this year. I don't think about this stuff in terms of its connection to my past music very much. There's a little, but very, very little. And I don't look at my past hardly at all. I don't think it's healthy, because then you get into it like resting on your laurels. And, you know, yes, I'm proud of the work I've done, but it's done. That's then. This is now.
So a bit of a twist on the question, how do you look at the way that we as an audience respond to your body of work with I would say, at least on my part and many others, with great love and reverence?
Well, you know, I know that they like the songs. I mean, somebody loving Guinevere doesn't hurt me a bit. I love it. and I love singing it. And I do sing it every night. Because
right.
I know people want to hear it. But I also sing a bunch of stuff they've never heard. And I do that for me, because this thing has to be fun or for me, or there's no point in doing it.
Your collaborator on this album, as I mentioned, Michael League, said at one point that you are hunting music, that you are always hunting music.
Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah. I mean, I discovered Joni Mitchell.
Right.
That would tend to make you want to keep doing that.
And ultimately, do you know what you're hunting for?
Yes. Singer-songwriters and exceptional players. I'm hunting for music. I love singer-songwriters. I find very few of them that I really like, but I have been lucky about it. I did all the harmonies on Jackson Browne's first record because I found him and loved him. I produced Joni Mitchell's first record because I found her and I loved her. Recently, I've found, well, in the interim, in the last few years, I found Shawn Colvin. I mean, I didn't discover her, but I found her for myself and loved her. I found Mark Cohen, who I think is just excellent. And recently, I've run into a girl named Becca Stevens, who's amazing. A girl named Michelle Willis, who's amazing. I found Snarky Puppy on YouTube, mm-hmm. and they just completely blew my mind. I hunt for music because I love it, and I'm always looking to find that new person that sparks me, that's coming up, that needs to be given the light, you know.
You mentioned Jackson Browne, and the new album was recorded at Jackson Browne's studio.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, yeah. He had a very good studio there. I don't know if it's going to keep going, but it's a wonderful studio.
How important is that of where you record?
It's pretty important for two reasons. One, technically, if a place has a great collection of microphones and really good Neve board, for instance, or equipment that you really like, really good like Manly or Neve inputs. Yeah, there's a lot of stuff. But the vibe of the place has a tremendous amount to do with it. Big commercial studios have some girl that looks like a lizard behind the desk and and a heavy entourage factor, and I don't dig that at all. Yeah. When I go there, I want to work. And so I like it that Jackson's is just one room. You're the only person there. It's a good room.
When you come to the Bardavon and you perform this music, is it just you and your son on stage?
Just me and him.
Yeah. And that allows you, he's on piano and you're on guitar.
Mm-hmm.
And what does it change night to night, or do you have it fairly set?
Oh, it'll change night to night.
Yeah. And how do you communicate that with each other? How do you go over that and decide?
We talk about it. We say, could I just stick this one in instead of that one tonight? Because I just feel like singing it. And, he knows all my stuff and I know all his stuff. So
yeah.
Pretty good.
Obviously, there's much to be made about Crosby, Stills, and Nash and the rift between you and Graham Nash and so forth. I'm less interested in that because that story has been told many times. I am interested, however, in that idea of collaboration on stage versus of off stage, of can that be just stultifying at some point where it is nice to just be you. I mean, it's your second solo album in just a matter of months, really.
Well, there's a great deal of freedom to it, and there's no none of the psychodrama that surrounds the big group. It's a joy to do, and I need to be happy to make good music. So it's really working for me really well.
Mm. Do you think it's difficult for really any group to have great success and pure happiness?
Yeah, I think it's very difficult. Groups generally, I think the Rolling Stones might be the exception that proves the rule, but generally groups devolve from an exciting thing to something where you turn on the smoke machine and play your hits.
Right.
And that's not good enough. It's just not. It's fun, it's easy money, it's the path of least resistance, but it's not good enough.
And it's not good for you as a musician. It's
no, because it doesn't make you grow.
Yeah.
If you stop growing, you should, pack up your guitar and go to the retirement home.
Which you have no intention of doing.
Absolutely not.
So from my understanding, after this album comes out, then you go back to working on another album with your son.
Yes. Matter of fact, we now have all the songs for the one with my son, which is going to be called Home Free. And I just wrote a song with Becca Stevens that I just wrote one with my son that's really crazy, and then I just wrote one with Becca that's so beautiful it'll make you cry. And we're done. We got all the songs, and now it's just a matter of finishing off the vocals and mixing it.
And you continue to write songs with your son and others?
Yeah. Yeah, I wrote one song on the second record with Michael McDonald that's killer little jazz ballad. It's beautiful. And it's fun how humble I am, isn't it? But it is good. I really think it's going to be a stunner of a record. I think both of these records are about as good as I can do it. And I'm very happy about that.
You know, humble schmumble, but it's lovely to hear you as excited as you are about it.
Oh, man, I'm thrilled.
Yeah.
Look, there's only two things that are really important to me, man. My family and the music. And if the music's going well, I am just a tremendously happy camper. And the music is going about as well as you could hope for it to go.
And is that both when you are creating it on stage and when you are creating it in whatever space you choose to create it in?
Both, yeah.
Yeah. But that audience, I assume, is a important
always
aspect.
Always magic. Always magic. If you can break the fourth wall and involve the audience in the trip, talk to them, make them laugh, whatever, get them involved so that you break down the barrier between you and them. Then you can take them on an emotional ride, and then you are doing your job.
The Bardavon presents An Evening with David Crosby on Saturday, August 20th at 8 p.m. at the Bardavon in Poughkeepsie, and he'll release a new album titled White House on October 21st. Bardavon.org for more information on the show, davidcrosby.com for more information on the new album. David Crosby, thank you so, so much for being with us and making this such a special morning. I thank you.
Thank you, man. I think, I have to tell you, you're really good at this. You should keep doing it.
Thank you very much. I appreciate that.
All right, man. Thanks.
Take care. Thank
Bye.
You. Again, David Crosby at the Bardavon, An Evening with David Crosby. You can find out more by going to bardavon.org. You're listening to The Roundtable on WAMC.